You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We are also part of Amplify Media. That's AmplifyMedia.com. I'm Wole, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ray. What's going on, Ray Jeezy?
What's up, brother? What's going on? How was your trip, dude?
Man, it was cool, bro. I was exhausted. I got no sleep on the night before going home. Man, I did too much, man. I feel like I ran Atlanta, dog. I ran the streets of Atlanta hard. I won't even hold you. I'm not young anymore. I'm not young anymore, bro. I'm like, I just can't back-to-back nights, bro. Like, going out and doing whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just not that dude anymore.
Yeah, a whole lot of Commanders fans made the trip to Atlanta, and I saw that during the game. I'm like, that's what's up. Why don't we do that at home? How they go and fill up the Mercedes-Benz Stadium but can't fill up FedEx? That was interesting.
It was,
and you
bro.
Were part of that group down there.
I ain't go to the game, though.
Represent your squad, homie.
I ain't go to the game, though.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, like, but I represented. I was down there, though. There were Commander parties, DMV parties everywhere, bro. Like, that thing was – it was just like – it was like – Atlanta was like these, like the area to a certain extent, man.
That's crazy.
But it was fun, though. I had a good time, my homies, man. Shout out to my man Rodney. It was his birthday yesterday, so shout out to my man Rodney. But yeah, we had a good time, bro. Had a real good time.
Sweet, bro. That's awesome.
That's real talk. You know, and that's real talk. You see how we changed the name, though? You know what I'm saying? We changed the name on the Urban Sports Scene. The credits is now Ray and Wole. You know what I'm saying? Folks have listened to the show in the past. You know what I'm saying? The homie Will T. He's no longer with the Urban Sports Scene. Shout out to Will T, man. Did so much for the show. You know what I'm saying? Like, so there's no beef. I want y'all to know, you know what I'm saying? No behind the scenes type thing. You know what I'm saying? Like VH1. We should have a story, though. It would be great. We had Fish. You know what I'm saying? You were here, then you left a little bit because you had some stuff you had to do, get situated. It was just me and Will. You came back. You know what I'm saying? And now Will's gone.
I never really left.
You ain't leave. No, you know what I mean? I say like leave. You know what I mean?
I wasn't full time in a while.
Yeah, exactly.
I went
part time. Part time, man. It's like VH1, man. We could have a documentary joint. It would be like that. You know what I'm saying? Behind the scenes. Shout out to Will T, man. You know what I'm saying? Still part of the fan, bro. You know what I'm
it's
saying?
All good.
It is what it is. All good. But yeah, man. But yeah, the game was like that whole the weekend was crazy, though. I ain't gonna hold you. I don't want to get everybody my info, my business, but I did a lot, bro. Like, I did a lot. Like, a lot.
All right, so you still recovering. Let's get to it, then.
Let's get to it, homie. Hey, man, mention Amplify Media. Amplify Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search The Urban Sports Scene.
And no matter what platform you're watching this on, please subscribe to The Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. And don't forget to hit us up on X at Urban Sports Scene, right? And hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page.
And also join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates.
And last for me, man, check out our weekly NFL picks on the Football Garbage Time website. Just go to footballgarbagetime.com. It's part of the Football Garbage Time versus Urban Sports Scene Pick'em Challenge. Crazy year so far. Now, that's all I'm going to say.
So last
shout
place?
Out to George. George is competing.
Is he? Am I still last place?
Yeah,
I'm last place. Dang, thought I did a little bit better. I thought I would. Anyway, hey man, let's get into our tradition. The pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington Commanders defeating the Atlanta Falcons Sunday and their upcoming game against the New York Giants. We'll talk about the WNBA Finals. The Las Vegas Aces are up 2-1 on the New York Liberty. Then finally, we'll talk about no more Showtime boxing. Al Jones from the WFNZ 92.7 FM radio show In the Ring with Al Jones will join us to talk about this big development. All right.
Absolutely.
Oh. Quick, I thought I was meeting this. Sorry, bro.
Sunday, Wole was in Atlanta, as we mentioned, to start the show. And while he was there, the Commanders defeated the Falcons 24-16. Wole, what was your reaction to how the Commanders came out and hopefully put behind that Bears game, put that in the rear view?
Initially I was like, I liked the first drive. They marched down the field and got three. I thought it's always important. Ooh, excuse me. It's always important to get 3 points off the rip. I mean, to score off the rip. It's always important. But then, you know, I got annoyed when Atlanta drove it to, you know, answered that with the touchdown drive, right after that. So it was kind of annoying. I was like, okay, here we go again with with Jack Del Rio. But, you know, they settled down. I thought, like, you had two teams, like you said, Ray, are, like, really close in terms of on the field. And you saw it. You know, I think that, you know, obviously when you look in the game, it's the turnovers. They pretty much kind of changed this game. Three turnovers by Atlanta with Desmond Ritter having three interceptions, and Sam Howell not turning the football over, or the Commanders not turning the football over, period. I just, you know, if you look at what Washington did in terms of, it wasn't pretty, but in terms of all facets, offense, defense, and special teams, they had some type of impact in this game. So I think that's what kind of put them over the top against Atlanta.
We are a DMV show. We represent PG County. So naturally, we come to the defense of Chase Young. And he's one of the people that we talk about so much because he gets criticized so much more frequently than any other player. But not far behind him, at least in my point of view, or from my point of view, is Jamin Davis. Davis getting that big interception, I think, was huge for his confidence. Because some people could say, well, Desmond Ritter gave you gifts, blah, blah. That right there in space where you want to get Bijan Robinson was a big play, and he showed his athleticism. So I was super excited for him. People who know me outside of podcasts know I'm an Atlanta Falcons fan. Mm-hmm. But I was realistic coming into the game. I thought, again, like you said, both teams were even. But I'm so glad that the Commanders showed fight. They showed energy. Mm-hmm. They celebrated as a group with the turnovers when they scored touchdowns. Also, Curtis Samuel. Remember, we talked about him playing the Deebo Samuel role the previous time the Commanders played in Atlanta. Like he played a big role in this game. And obviously, Jameson Crowder, you get somebody good on special teams and it can impact the game greatly, because you take away that return and you're dead even. So that was also something that I feel like was a turning point. And the Commanders overall as a group, even the coaching staff, Ron, he showed some emotion finally. But I don't like them putting the cameras on him after a win, because you didn't do that the last 3 weeks. I want to see how he's motivated, guys. You asked them when that Bears debacle was happening at halftime, but they talked about it. Mm-hmm. But now when you play better, now you want to be animated. Come on, dude. I need some consistency.
No, I don't know. I wasn't watching the pregame, so I don't have the postgame, so I wouldn't know. Is that he said it after the game? He was kind of
the Commanders posted it to social media. They posted his postgame speech, and then Fox replayed it and said, "You gotta love this from Ron Rivera. This is a family win." You know, he went through his usual spiel, but I get it. If you're gonna lose, you're not gonna necessarily post it on social media. But I'm just saying, in terms of him, this is a common theme with this team is. You get a bounce back win. I want to see him in adversity step up and be that leader that I know he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I feel you. I do. I want to talk about like what you're talking about, where the game really changed, the turning point. Like this play right here, Jameson Crowder. It was 7-3 going to him. They finally got a situation where they punted the ball, and instead of the offense trying to move the length of the field against a tough Atlanta defense. That play led into a touchdown catch, I believe, to Gibson for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. That 1 yard touchdown pass. So I do think that like that definitely was a turning point. I think that gave him confidence, right, going into for the next series. So the defense was able to get another stop, and in that series they were able. I think that was the actual they went for it. I believe that Atlanta went for it on 4th and 3. And they got that stop, and that led to another short field where eventually Curtis Samuel had a touchdown pass. To your point, I think that turned everything around. That play did turn everything around, but in terms of just giving that team confidence, I think it gave the Washington team as a whole, right, confidence. Like that play by Jameson Crowder. Jameson Crowder was the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week. Because of his play on Sunday. So I do to your point, Ray, you mentioned it. I do think that, I mean, you're right. I think that was the big turning point in the game. But in terms of Ron, I know keep that same energy, right? That's the whole thing you're talking about. Keep the same energy.
Like just consistency. That's what consistent. I'm looking for with this team, man.
Yeah, and you're right. Like it's not just to me a Ron thing. I just think the team in general, keep that same energy. That's my thing. Like we don't need to see what we saw in Chicago. Right, keep that same energy like what you saw on the road. Cause I feel like what you did on the road. Cause I feel like this has been a theme now. It looks like it's kind of been consistent in this realm. They show that same kind of energy on the road compared to being at home. I don't know what that's about. Like even the if you look at all the games at home, Yeah. Oh, even I'll even count the Arizona game. I think the Arizona had more energy to a certain extent. They just didn't have more talent. They had a lot of energy, right? I feel like this team has been has had more energy on the road. The Denver game, the Eagles game, and the loss, the Falcons. Obviously, this Falcons game, the energy has been totally different in all the in all these games that on the road compared to at home.
100%, and that's in part is something that a player has to motivate himself, and the players have to get up for the games, like kind of what Doc said last week when he joined us with Doc Walker. But I think coaches as well, man. I think it's a culture, and you want to establish a winning culture. And I don't think it's a winning culture when you face adversity, then it's all over your faces. But when you're winning, then it's the complete opposite. No, that's one thing I love about Chase Young as a leader. I feel like he brings energy all the time. Like he's the one that he's going to get the guys fired up. And I want to see that from the coaching staff. Eric Bieniemy is that definitely that dude as well. And I like his demeanor lately. He's kind of shifted a bit because he's trying to calm the storm, essentially, because the media firestorm after that Thursday night debacle was tough because it was extra couple days involved. And I like the fact that they came out, like you said, and got some points on the board right away. So it was a good response when you faced some more adversity, unexpected adversity at that. We thought the Buffalo game was the worst it could get. So now you move forward. You won this game in Atlanta. It's like, okay, we're turning the page. You got a division opponent who, even when they're bad, they give you a tough game most of the time. And I'm interested to see how they continue, because what you're saying is on the road, it's a trend for this team to play well. So let's see that continue. Take that momentum and ride that into New York, who they're bleeding. New York is bleeding, man. This is it. You beat New York right here. They lost a division game, another division game, I should say, and they also dropped a 1-6. It's a wrap.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I do want to get to something real quick before we get to the New York game. In terms of, we talk with, like, if you watch the game, the cornerback Emmanuel Forbes, rookie cornerback Emmanuel Forbes didn't really play. He was benched for Danny Johnson. For you, like, you know, speaking for you and just knowing you know, we talked about us liking the kid. You think that was the right move for him to, like, get limited snaps in this Atlanta game?
I don't know why it took this long to make an adjustment like that. Okay. Especially because after the game, you say you didn't see the post-game presser. I did. Okay. And Coach Rivera was saying, we just want to get his confidence back. We want to have him take the sideline view of the game and get to see different angles and get to see how, you know, other guys defend, how other teams run plays. Yeah. Essentially, be a student and also regain your confidence because he was hurting. Yeah. And I feel like maybe – you don't sit him out as long as you do. I feel like you still bring him in. You still substitute him in and out. But to be honest with you, if you listen to our show, which we have a couple of them, and you listen to any other Washington football team, Washington Commander, I'm sorry, pod, pregame show, everybody said, pick on Emmanuel Forbes is one of the keys that the Falcons want to win. So the fact that he did not play is probably a bonus for those who evaluate the team. Period. So I think it was a good move because you had to make an adjustment because you can't let the season get out of hand. Now you find yourself at 500. Yeah. So it was a good move. And it was a big turning point. Drake London actually played well.
No, he played well, but he wouldn't. I don't think he'd be checking Drake London if he was playing. But it's almost to a point where because Danny Johnson was no Drake London at all. So it's like it's wild because I agree with you, but then I was listening to Fred Smoot. And he had a good point. He was like, dudes, you playing him against AJ Brown, all these other dudes with quarterbacks that are better, but you can't play him against Desmond Ritter. I was
that's a good point.
Yeah, he was like, when he said that, I was like, first, because you know, you're thinking like, yeah, this dude's getting a big play. So I totally agree with you, Ray. But when he said that, I was like, yeah, that does make sense. Like, you would play him against Josh Allen. Hurt and AJ Brown, but you're not gonna play him against Desmond Ritter, so he gets confidence up. Then I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Like he said, that's what pissed him off. I was like, that was Smoot said, that's what pissed him off. And I was thinking to myself, like, in the grand scheme of things, you do want to get the guys who are playing more consistent on the football field. So I agree with that. But it is a young dude that you do hope that he could become that guy. So you want to get his confidence up because I believe that this kid could be talented enough to help this team in the long run. Maybe not this year, but in the long run. Because even Coach Rivera, I heard him say that, you know, we had the same issue with Jamin Davis. And now look at Jamin now. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, you know, in terms of Emmanuel Forbes, like when Fred Smoot said that, I was like, you know what? I wouldn't have mind seeing them play. But again, I've always said that Danny Johnson deserves to play because Danny Johnson has shown a level of consistency since being ever since he's been on this ball club. Like, he deserves the opportunity. But yeah.
See, that's what's interesting point. Mind-boggling for me because I felt as though Danny Johnson coming in the Philly game would have made a big difference. And you decide not to do it there, I guess, the Fred Smoot point. But now you want to make this adjustment.
Yeah.
Although, as much as I love DJ Moore as a receiver, I don't think anybody saw Justin Fields and DJ Moore setting the world on fire having a record-setting night.
I did. The way they came. I don't know what, like, because I watched DJ. If you watched DJ then, like, the week before, and the game plan is like, they were going to force DJ. They force fed DJ. I knew
that man almost. That's true. Now I said that before the game, but he got almost 300 yards receiving.
That's why. Look, that's some why, college, bro. I ain't saying no one said no one's always be that bad. But I knew he was doing 100 plus. I knew he was going 100 plus. I ain't think it was gonna be. Who thought it was gonna be that bad? That's mad 95 stuff, bro. That's mad 95 stuff.
That's exactly my point.
But I'm saying that he was gonna get busy. Like, I knew he was gonna get busy. Like, because DJ Moore is special. He's special.
And here's the interesting part too is. Everybody in the league knows that Atlanta's a run first team.
Yeah.
So now you're gonna take them out against a team that's not gonna pass as well as other teams.
I mean, it makes sense.
And then you defend it. You defended the run so well that you forced Atlanta to be something that they weren't. And I think that would help the young man. So that's a good point, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I don't know, man. It's a tough one. I think either way, he can regain confidence from watching and from, you know, playing against a quote unquote lesser tier opponent.
Yeah, because even Quan Martin, who didn't look good in preseason, played in this game and didn't look bad. He didn't look bad. So it wasn't like in limited play, he didn't look bad. So it does make you think, you know what I'm saying? It does make you think. I when he said that, I was like, oh, okay. That's not a bad point.
Dujanay in the building.
What's up, Dujanay? What's going on, my man? All right, so like the Commanders held the Falcons to 16 points and forced 3 turnovers. Ray, I'm asking you this question. Do you think the defense has officially turned things around? Or you still got this to wait? Is this poll is out there too? So it's or is it
I saw the poll and I'm with the poll. No, not yet. Because you allowed a first quarter touchdown to the Falcons who hadn't scored one all season. And then I saw X blow up when Kyle Pitts caught a touchdown. They're like, oh, nobody knew Kyle Pitts was going to be the target. So you still have to fix some of what feels like obvious game planning issues. But I feel like the tackling was better. And I feel as though, of course, being able to get a young quarterback uncomfortable and force him into turnovers, that helped. Your red zone defense was actually good. That fourth down stop was excellent. So there's still some good things to take from. But have they turned a corner? No, because you got to look at the competition you'll be playing for the rest of the season. You got some tough teams ahead of you. You got some good quarterbacks just within your division that you're going to be playing mobile quarterbacks to, which give the Commanders a problem. So, no, they haven't turned the corner. That's why everybody, including yourself, is like, I don't want to see Danny Dimes. I want to see Tyrod Taylor because Danny Dimes might look like Vanilla Vic as a
Skip Bayless. He owns it. He owns his team. He owns that team. I don't know. He owns the team. It's wild. So I'm like, no, because they gave up 402 yards passing. So it can't be, I mean, not passing, total yards in terms of the Atlanta Falcons offense. Ritter threw over 300 yards. So it couldn't have been that great, in my opinion. So, Timothy Hyman from North Carolina, I think the defense will turn the notch up this week and grind it out. Hopefully. hopefully. I'm gonna keep the buck, hopefully.
What makes you think that, bro?
Yeah, true that. Real talk. I will say this though. I think I know where Tim's coming from. If it was shown, and I think because Jack has been stubborn, that when they blitz, they are able to force an issue. They're able to force a mistake. When they blitz, they're able to force a mistake. They blitz. They didn't blitz all of like a lot of you. Not. It seemed like they didn't blitz all the first half. It seemed like they didn't. Then in the second half, they started blitzing on certain downs. And what happened? I think all three or two of the three was created a turnover on the blitz. So all I'm saying is that if you're looking for a blueprint to create turnovers, it was shown in the Atlanta game that there is an opportunity to create turnovers. So if that alone is turning the defense around where you're now creating pressure, I can say yes, but I'm not sure. I just don't trust Jack. Like the yards, I'm over the yardage. Like that's the thing. But if you can if you can show me that you're willing to blitz, then I'm almost on the side to say, you know what, maybe this defense can turn around if they blitz. Because it's wild. Every time they blitz in that game against Atlanta, it seemed like something good happened. They blitzed on fourth down and they picked it up. That was the one. But other than that, they were pretty solid when they blitz. I feel like if they blitz, things are turned around. Like Jamin Davis, you mentioned Jamin. Jamin had a sack, 8 tackles, and an interception. Cody Barton had 15 tackles, dog, and a tackle for loss. Kalik Hudson seemed to play well. They put him out there. They played more 3 linebacker set. And again, that could be more to what Atlanta does rather than anything else. But at least they played 3 linebackers. Usually it was still, even with heavy in a heavy formation, they played 2 linebackers and a Buffalo nickel. At least now they played 3 linebackers. So, you know, Casey Tuhill got more burn, had 2 sacks. So I just feel like I think if you're looking for hope, if you're looking for hope for the defense, right? Jack Blitzen created something there. Like you could see it. Now, I don't know when they go against the Giants, maybe he don't want to blitz a Tyrod Taylor or Daniel Jones. I don't know. But this, if you're trying to find hope, what Jack did blitzing, that may be it. What do you mean to say? I don't trust Jack at all. I need more attack mode in the front 7. These guys can ball. Jack got to turn them loose. I mean, Dujane, I'm with you, but we gotta grasp at hope though. You know what I'm saying? Like he blitzed though. He blitzed in the second half. And I don't maybe I'm trying to put my brain in Jack's head and like be like, I'm like, yo, was Jack like, you know what? I ain't gonna blitz at all the first half. I'm gonna trick him. And in the second half, I'm gonna bring pressure and they won't even be ready for it. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it out. But Ray, when you saw them bringing pressure, what were your thoughts, man?
I was saying finally. Yeah, we talked about the potential keys to victory last week. And that was something we emphasized. Get pressure on Ritter. When he's under pressure, he's shown to struggle. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened. And if you don't, and you got a guy like him who's undefeated at home, he's going to feel comfortable and he's going to pick you apart. So it made so much sense. Why don't you do it more often? That's what I don't get. Now, what concerns me is a guy that can get the ball out quick, who's probably a bit more experienced than Desmond Ridder, he may be able to read the blitz and he may be able to pick you apart as well. And that's where I want to see how Jack will make that adjustment. But you know what? You got to do it, Wole. You see the results. Let's look at the results when you don't blitz and let's look at the results when you do. Period.
My man Timothy said, Rivera needs to stop punting on 4th and 1 and go for it. He be killing my nerves. We are good. See, but we have to let these teams know we are for real. Yeah,
you got to establish that identity. You do, because you do. It's been multiple alumni, including Doc Walker, who said when you see that uniform, you want people to be intimidated. You want people to know that this defense is coming. Like when we played back in the day, like Capital Punishment was, people knew who we were. They knew our identity. They knew we was gonna come and hit you in the mouth, and everybody's mocking the Commanders. They got the pretty black uniforms. Man, don't wear them no more is what people said because we can't stand them because we said we get whooped every time we wear them.
Yeah, right. Now, stop wearing them joints.
You come in, you got that defense, and you establish a not just a defense that's dogs, but also offense that's going to be smashed by us too. Like you said, 4th and 1, go for it. And know that your defense, if you don't get your defense, going to step up anyway.
Whoa.
That's how you establish an identity. That's how you make yourself out to be a feared opponent. Because them guys up 95 that wear purple and black, They got an identity every season. It don't matter if they substituting people in and out, and that's what you want.
Yeah, they got an identity. They confused though right now. I don't know if they know their identity.
They might be, but
they used to be. Yeah,
their fan base thinks they're gonna win every week.
That's true. But they need to like go back to their identity because I feel like they trying to lose that joint.
I agree with that too.
I think they're doing a little bit too much. Yeah, they should be Philly. I agree with you, Tim. I agree with you. They should be Philly, but. We they didn't know. It's unfortunate, but they didn't. They should have, but they didn't. They let them off the hook.
And Tim, that loss to Philly makes this game in New York even more important. You cannot drop the 0-2 in the division, my friend.
Facts. Big facts, bro. Big facts. All right, so Sunday at 1 p.m., the Commanders travel to New York to take on the Giants. The Giants, they were close, man. They almost beat Buffalo on Sunday night. Ray, what are your keys to a Commanders victory? And folks listening, I want to know y'all keys to a Commanders victory? I want to know your main key for Commanders victory. Not a bunch of them, just your main key. But Ray, for you, you can give me a bunch.
You have to shut down Thibodeau. One thing that I saw in the Atlanta game is Atlanta had 5 sacks coming in. They got 5 sacks in that game. That's inexcusable.
I told you that already, though. I told you that's going to happen regardless. I told you. They don't give up sacks. They don't give up. That won't matter, bro. They're going to give up sacks. I'm just keeping it up.
That's my concern, because you were fortunate not to have any turnovers in this past week. But if you have turnovers against the Giants and you give their offense, who hasn't played well, hasn't scored a touchdown in forever, you get them a short field, you're going to get that team confidence. You got to do something. You got to change your blocking schemes. Is there anything that you can do to adjust? Maybe you get Leno back this week. I'm just wondering what you can
Lucas
do
is good. Slow,
or at least limit the pass rush. You give up 5 sacks to the Giants or more, that's going to be an issue, bro. That's just me. I don't know if you think that anything can be done. You look like you're not confident.
No, I don't think that we're not getting up 5 sacks. I'm going to say it's almost similar to like the Atlanta game. The sacks won't be a big issue to me, like, because you're going to get sacked. Five can happen, but it's the way you get sacked. That's all. It's the way you get sacked. And I think, like, if it's similar to how you got sacked against Atlanta, he'll be fine. It's just that you hope you don't get hurt.
Ain't nobody similar to Atlanta, Wally. You got to realize that.
No, but it's not like, but this is the thing. Like, the sacks don't. All right, you watched the Eagles game, right? He got. Did the sacks hurt him against the Eagles?
Not really.
It's going so no. I'm saying, like,
okay.
It's not,
so here's my thing. Yeah. Atlanta had many opportunities. You should have put your foot on their necks. You was up 24
to 10. Totally agree.
So the sacks, in my opinion, like the ones he held the ball on, and then you now have to punt. Atlanta had more chances than they should have to come back. That's my thing. And I think you don't give a weaker opponent a chance.
So you don't think the Giants are weaker than Atlanta?
I think the Giants are comparable to both Atlanta and Washington in terms of just how I'm they have saying, deficiencies and, yeah. and they have a difficult time hiding those.
Yeah, I don't think Washington, again, it's not even my issues are not even the sacks thing. So my issue is like more.
You asked for my keys, bro.
No. I'm not knocking you. I'm not knocking. No. That's good. Those are good keys. I'm not knocking it.
One key
at all.
So far.
No, for me, it's just like the same old, bro. Like, don't give up explosive plays. Like, you'll be all right. Like, I ain't going to hold you. You'll be all right. Like, get off the field. Like, stop having these long drives. Like, be a solid defense. If you're a solid defense, you could outscore the Giants. Even with all the sacks, you could still outscore the Giants. The Broncos sacked you like crazy. You outscored the Broncos. The only team that you ain't score against, and that's Buffalo, and Buffalo's secondary is better than the Giants' secondary. They're better overall defense. So, like, if you can score, if you don't give up big explosive plays, you can outscore the Giants. It's just that you can't give up explosive plays. You got to be a better defense.
I just feel like you're not going to get lucky 2 weeks. Not lucky. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase. I just feel like you may not be as fortunate this week to not have any turnovers, especially if they're getting pressure.
Yeah,
and
I
that's
agree.
My concern for any young quarterback, because Sam Howell's been up and down because he's young. This is the part of the maturation process.
Yeah.
So can he overcome that week in and week out? I just don't feel like that's fair to put that on a second-year quarterback.
No, I'm not saying
That's why I'm making a key. And Thibodeau, he goes for strip sacks.
Oh, no, that dude. No. I do agree they need to block him because he's an animal. No, I agree with you on that one.
But if you're right and the defense shows up and you can overcome, let's say, some deficiencies amongst the offensive line, okay, awesome. Now, if you're going to do that, you want to make sure that your playmakers are involved and that you keep moving the chains when you keep your quarterback protected. And you control time of possession. I think that's huge, man. Especially when you're on a roll, a second week in a row. Travel's not always easy when you're traveling multiple weeks. You don't have a chance to necessarily practice like you're accustomed to. And then also, it's just can complacency set in and all when you're coming off what was, in my opinion, a relief type of victory. So I think you need to be firing on all cylinders, even if that's been an area weakness. Like Cody Barton was getting killed in the media. He was getting killed on this show, and he showed up. He wrapped up. He tackled well. He
played better.
I don't know how many tackles for loss he had, but he played
yeah,
so
one,
good.
One tackle for loss. That's it.
So I feel like if the all oh you counted. Okay. So if the offense, and that was a big one too, by the way, that he got. But,
yeah, it was.
I think it was Bijan. The offense. If the offensive line is listening like Cody Barton was, then maybe they come out with more of a dog this week.
Yeah. So I'm gonna give you like so in terms of on Twitter, my man Commando Bando said Chris Rodriguez with 8+ carries. They could be a significant rushes in the game or important carries to ice the game. Washington has a lead. Dude flashes as a ball carrier. Use him. Let's see who else was this. George has one too. Here, George said, if it's Tyrod Taylor at QB, it's to force him into 30 plus passes. If it's Daniel Jones, then stop him from running all over us. These are their keys.
Saquon looked like he's
he looked good last week. He looked good then. Like,
gotta look at him as well. And he's a threat to catch out of the backfield too.
Yeah, another one. My man Cash said, I think we played a very overrated team with the suspect quarterback. We won't know if the defense. Who's this one? Oh, this defense. I'm sorry. This is about the turning the corner. We won't know if this defense has turned a corner until Philly comes to FedEx after the Giants road game.
I don't think that's true because they haven't necessarily performed consistently against anybody. So if you can get two back-to-back weeks where you get turned
on defense, yeah, I agree. That's good. I agree.
Huge. I don't think the opponent matters because as we see, look
what it doesn't matter.
San Fran and Philly lost. You can be anybody on any given week. And if your team shows up, I don't care if it's against a team that you think is inferior, I think it's huge, man. People were feeling much better about the defense after the Atlanta game than they were, of course, after the Chicago game. Like, okay, good. We're not as bad as what I thought. We're not there yet. And we don't like Jack still, but that was much better.
I felt better about it just because he blitzed more. Exactly. That's all I cared about. Oh, because I felt like you finally listened. That's all. I mean, I ain't gonna lie to you. It wasn't anything about, like, I felt vindicated. Like, bro, if you listen to me, this team be much better, but you choose not to listen to me, and they're not. This defense is not better. All right, Ray, real quick, what's your prediction, man?
I'm having a hard time making a prediction because my heart says Washington. They can muster up another 2-game winning streak. It'll be their second of the year. This is their best 6-game record under Rivera. I think that's progress. That's terrible. Only concern is it's the Giants. It's something about them blue uniforms where it's always a close matchup. It's same way again as an Atlanta fan last week. I'm like, Commanders find a way to get it done against Atlanta as over the past 3 years, as of late, I should say. And I'm thinking in New York, they are not giving up at all, and they're not afraid of the Commanders. With that being said, though, the Commanders are a better football team this season. So I'm going to take the Commanders 24-20.
If Tyrod Taylor is playing, and this is not a knock on Tyrod Taylor at all. If he's playing, I feel pretty good that the Commanders can win. But now I've lost confidence if this team can beat Daniel Jones. I ain't going to lie to you. I lost confidence. I don't know. I feel like I'll be lying to myself if I would say they're confidently going to beat Daniel Jones. But I will say this. From all the reports I've heard, it seems like Tyrod is probably going to play. So if Tyrod plays, I'll pick the Commanders.
He gets the ball out quick to me.
But he does hold the ball too. Tyrod holds the ball. He's always held the ball. Like, I watched Tyrod, he holds the ball.
Be careful what you wish for, baby.
That's fine. I'd rather have him, Daniel Jones. I know the record, Daniel Jones. 5-1-1. I know the record.
I'll tell you this. When I know you have confidence in your defense, is when you say it don't matter what quarterback we playing, my guy's coming to fall.
It doesn't matter.
That confidence in your defense because the quarterback matters a whole lot.
It means a lot.
Daniel Jones versus
Tyrod Taylor.
It's not Josh Allen versus Mahomes.
Exactly.
We're talking Tyrod Taylor versus Danny Dimes. I'm going to keep calling him that. That is insane to me.
I know that's it. I know exactly.
Oh, Daniel Jones versus Tyrod Taylor. If I said
it
wrong,
it don't matter. Either way, it doesn't matter. It's still the same to me.
I think the Commanders will pull it out. But to be honest, man, my heart is saying New York. Same thing last week. I picked Atlanta because I had to. I felt like, but my heart said Washington. I feel like the Giants can take this one at home. But I think the Commanders are much better, man.
Let me keep it a buck with you. My heart had last week. My heart definitely had. It had Washington winning, but I just lost faith in them.
Yeah,
that's why I picked against it because I just couldn't justify that anymore. My heart's telling me my heart's actually telling me the Washington beats the Giants. Like, I'm not going to hold you. Like, it's telling me. So it's matching my thought process, but it's not even being a fan, just that the Giants are just so inconsistent. And what the Giants have out on the outside doesn't scare me like the other number one receivers that I've had to watch.
I agree with that.
No, the number ones, like I told you, like, and then they're not even feeding Waller the ball like that. So it's not like and he's like kind of if and all. And I like Waller, bro.
And defensively, like, man, it's big play potential against.
Yeah, them. And their cornerback and their corners are hurt. And yeah, they got the, like, all their corners are hurt.
I'm going Washington too, brother. We together on this one.
All right. So anyway, speaking of New York, in the WNBA Finals, New York Liberty are down to the Las Vegas Aces 2-1, but right now they're up in the second and going into the second quarter.
Who's up?
The Liberty are up. I think they're up I think I want to say 23-13 right now. And they have an opportunity to tie this series tonight and take this to a game five. So Ram, start with you, man. First off, you watched game three. How the game was, I'll tell you the score. The score of game three was 87-73 Liberty. And for you watching the game, how were the Liberty able to dominate that game? To win that game. They didn't dominate to win that game.
I mean, you rely on your big players. Big players make big plays. Santana Moss, baby, back into you. He said it. And Breanna Stewart is one of the GOATs, of course. Jonquil Jones is somebody
She's an
underrated star. And she wants a chip. And she got a chip on her shoulder because she wants that chip. She came this close in Washington. Mm-hmm. And if she got fed the ball more, I think in that series, she might have won. So she's seen an opportunity and you see an opponent who's limping. In this series right now, you got to seize the moment. You got to protect home court. And they came out with a dog, and they relied on those two horses.
Yeah, I think that, you mentioned, to me, it's definitely like Jonquil Jones. She only shoot threes. She hit like four threes, dog, 4-for-7 from the three-point line. Dog, if she's averaging in this series, I want to say she's averaging about, it's like 21 in the series, like 21. 21 in the series. Like, she's a double-double machine. I feel like in this series, she's been, in my opinion, other than maybe Plum, she's been the best player in the series. Like, Jones has been the best player in the series.
I'm not going to hold you, bro. I'm a little biased, though. You know, she played at Riverdale Baptist.
Yeah.
You know, so she got them local ties. She got a lot of fans here, man. Yeah. And it was a pleasure to cover her the season I did. Yeah. So I'm a little biased. I'm not going to lie. But the stats you just read off tell it all.
Yeah, she's been dominant. Like to me, even in the whole postseason, not just – in the final, she's been dominant. I said this when we were talking about her earlier, last week. She's been dominant, and you could see Wilson struggle with her, bro. Like, she is getting buckets she's getting buckets every which way, down low, pick and roll.
She's like Embiid, bro. She's like the female,
bro. I'm about to show you this clip of her doing look at that three ball. Look at that joint, dog. It ain't over. We got more. It ain't over. Trail, hit that three. Bang.
I'm telling you, let me tell you this. If she wins a championship, you're going to see her marketability grow that much more. You saw the commercial she was in with Trae Young and Boban. Mm-hmm. It was dope. And I find it hilarious, you know, because people call me Trae Young all the time, which is annoying. But at the same time, she was helping him. Mm-hmm. And that commercial, grab something high off a shelf. It just show you the type of size she has and how she can dominate using that size. Yeah, and she's showing it on the national stage right now, which I guess she's done before. But you on a different team with this Liberty team. This Liberty team is stacked, man.
It's stacked.
It's just a great opportunity for her. And I'm just hoping she seizes it. I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't care who wins per se, but I would love to see her get that sort of star power that she and that recognition she doesn't get.
Yeah, but to your point though, right? I think in this series, game three, but it's been consistent, right? The first two games, even in the blowouts, like they're two best players. Baller. Yeah, she's a baller. But even in blowouts, the issue in the first two games were that, you know, the Vegas as a whole was running it. Like, there's a hole. Like, they're 1-5 and 1-5 they were killing. You know what I mean? But to me, if you look at the Liberty, it's always been two. Breanna Stewart and Jones. Those two have been consistent. They have been the mainstay. You just wanted your guards to play a little bit better, right? I do think that, you know, in game, I want to say game three, they had better guard play. So they were able to kind of like it was improved guard play. But they were able to kind of like hold down the fort. And plus, you're playing at home, right? So you're going to get more of that energy playing at home. So I think that's what kind of put them over the top. But yeah, she's been consistent, bro. Like, for real. 27. I think she had 27. Like, I think she had 27 in game three. Like, that's she's doing big work. And especially on the stage where you're talking about Aja Wilson and Breanna Stewart. And she, to me, it's at times looks like the best player on the court. which is kind of dope.
Yes, sir.
It's kind of dope to me. So, terrible news, you know what I'm saying? You never want to start wanting the stars to go out in the finals, but Aces guard Chelsea Gray is out tonight with an apparent foot injury. How does this injury change the series, in your opinion? Does it, like, hinder them thoroughly, or is it something they can really bounce back from?
Maybe the home crowd can get her some juice if she doesn't come back, but she's the quarterback, period.
Yeah.
You take Tua off the Dolphins. I don't care if you got Waddle and Tyreek Hill. You're going to have some adjustments you're going to need to make, and you probably won't be the same team. So it's the same thing with the Aces. You take their point guard, their floor general off the floor. It's a huge loss, and she's got the size, and she's got that dog. Like, you know how she plays. She plays 100%. Her tank is always on full. She's always going hard. You love her game. I hate to see her get hurt because she's just good for the game.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But in terms of that team, that hurts them a whole lot in terms of what they like to do on the court. And that's where Becky Hammon is going to prove how great of a coach she really is, because now, without one of your top players, and again, that quarterback of your team, what adjustments do you make in order to elevate your squad against a team that is playing pretty good at home and is riding some momentum?
Right now, Aces are down 5-18-23. This one, they went on a 5-0 run. To me, like you said, Ray, this person's the quarterback, and they're gonna miss her a lot. But like the blessing with the Aces, and New York is deep too, so it's not saying that like New York, the Aces are deeper than New York. They're both two deep teams, but in terms of guard play, I do think they do have some things. They have things they can do to work around it. They're gonna miss her, but they have some things they can work around it. Like, you can move Chelsea Plum to the one, because she's playing the two. You can move her to the one. You're gonna need Young to step up more, like how she played in games 1 and 2. Game 3 wasn't as good, but if she could play the way she did in game 1 and game 2, add in with, because to me, Plum has been, I mentioned arguably being the best player on the court between the big Plum. You can make the argument that Plum has been the best player in the finals. She's averaged the most points in the finals, so you're gonna have her at the one. Young can step up, and you're just gonna, and drill talk, you're gonna need your best player to be dominant. You know what I mean? Like, Asia Wilson didn't have a good game in game 3. She went 4 for 16 from the field, 16 points. That's not good enough if you're trying to close. If you're trying to close out a series, that's just not good enough. You're going to have to be dominant. She's going to have to be the Asia Wilson that was in game 2 when she gave you 26 points and 15 boards. She's going to have to be that person. So if you want to close out, New York, you can't just, and you're missing somebody you rely on, you need. It's going to be a group, but you're going to need your dogs to be your dogs. Like, you got to be special. So Asia's got to be special.
I think she trusts her teammates. That's all. I really do.
She does. No. She is. No, I agree. She does, though.
This group is experienced. Mm-hmm. They got championship pedigree, and I feel as though she's okay with deferring, and she's okay with getting everybody involved.
Yeah.
And she knows she can flip that switch when she needs to, and she can drop 30 or more points.
Facts.
And
we do 50, 60.
I think at this point, she knows it's a long series. It's not over. If you lose tonight, it's not over. You got that home court advantage for a reason. So I like her mental approach to the game, and I don't have an issue with her. Although I know what you mean. If you want to close it out and get it over with, then be Age Wilson.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I'm okay with the approach.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, not, it's because when you lose a player that's very valuable to you, somebody has to make up for it, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like, and on that initial, on their five is like a Fab Five-ish type of squad. You know what I mean? So you're gonna need Young's gonna have to step up. I'm not just meaning not just Asia. Young's gonna have to step up. The only reason I mentioned Plum, because Plum is already giving you 26. Almost every night. She gave you 29 in game 3. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's Darren Waller wife, bro. She ain't that.
I know.
You might have a problem come Sunday. But, Ole, does it need to end tonight if you're the Aces? Do you absolutely have to get them out of there tonight?
Nah, I'm with you. The Vegas thing. I think they got that game in Vegas. It depends how the game is going. If you have the opportunity to, like, this game is tight into the fourth, yeah, you want to take advantage of that. You know what I mean? You don't want to give anybody any hope. But if this game is if it's similar to what you saw in game 3, you got another game at home.
Well, if you get that game at home, I want to see Ionesco step up huge on that road game.
She needs to step up.
Because Jonco Jones demands attention down low, and you can find your open spots, and you have one of the best jumpers in the game. Yeah. Although Caitlin Clark might be the best female shooter currently existing and breathing. I don't care what Angel Reese talks about her or says about her. She is her.
She can shoot for us.
She is her. But it may not end tonight, Wole. We will see. But what did end is Showtime Boxing, baby. It is no more. And right now, introduce this guy to the urban sports scene. He's a good friend. We have Al Jones from WFNZ 92.7 FM radio in the ring with Al Jones. He's on the pod with us. Al, what's good, man? Good to see
fellas,
you again.
Fellas, thank you for having me again. It's such a pleasure to be on, man.
Hey, man, it's a pleasure to have you on, bro. You already know what time it is. You know it's a pleasure to have you on, man.
No doubt.
Al, you know we covered Gary Antoine Russell's last fight, and it was special for me and Wole because that was a Showtime boxing production, and that's the last time we're gonna see Showtime come to B&B. and what's crazy is I got a chance to interview Steven Espinoza, and at that time he was very confident that Showtime boxing was gonna continue based on all the big fights they've had this year, including Spence Crawford, Benavidez, and Plant. You name it, Tank Garcia. Yeah. They thought they had enough momentum to keep Paramount on board with boxing. Bellator was already gone. They're like, okay, we should be able to stick around. But no, they put that nail in the coffin, man. Cover them up. You know, let's go to the cemetery. We can hold hands and sing, baby. It's over. What's your thoughts about Showtime being gone and about where Al Haymon might take PBC to next?
Well, like you just mentioned, this is really historically one of the biggest years in boxing.
Yeah.
As far as fights are concerned.
Yeah.
And it was put on, you know, PBC put on a huge display. Boxing put on a great display this year. It was all great and dandy, you know. Mm-hmm. And the fans won. And that's who it's all about. The fans.
Mm-hmm.
And looking into the situation with Showtime, that's if you really think about it. I mean, when boxing left HBO, we took a hit then. Mm. You know, that hurt boxing.
Mm-hmm.
When it left HBO 20 some odd years ago. And now being in with Showtime leaving, with boxing leaving Showtime, I really think it's good.
Okay.
I really do. I think because that's an old business model.
Okay. Good point.
I heard you. That's why I want you on show because you said that, and I want you to elaborate why you said that. Because I heard you say that.
Initially. I mean, now if you think about it,
streaming
the future. Think about the future of boxing.
Mm-hmm.
The millennials, the people are much younger. We're on YouTube now. Everyone has an app. You know, so I think going in that direction, you can capture that audience.
Okay.
You can capture that app audience more. Everyone, that's where everyone is going towards. That's the future there. So Showtime, HBO, you know, that's a thing of the past.
Think about Al Haymon taking PBC to DAZN and having Leonard Ellerbe have to work with Eddie Hearn potentially and Oscar De La Hoya on putting on big fights. Now, from a boxing fan perspective, that sounds like you could get some crazy fights. There ain't no excuses then. This Shakur and Haney going to definitely fight. Like, everybody's going to fight each other at that point. But I also like Prime. I know you got Prime. I got Prime.
ESPN Plus.
Mm.
What? No one like ESPN Plus. Who has ESPN Plus? I mean, like, that thing is terrible. Look, no way. No,
it can be a boost for Top Rank. There with Bob Arum.
They still don't they have ESPN Plus though, right? Isn't that their thing?
Huh?
Isn't ESPN
Plus? Top Rank has ESPN Plus. He's saying that if you add PBC,
PBC,
if you add PBC and Top Rank collab,
together,
you know he not working
with Powerhouse as well.
I think he would never consider working with Bob Arum. Bob Arum already saying we on our way to the top without them.
And that's what we have to do at this point, put our egos to the side. And let everyone try to collaborate together on this. I would like to honestly see everyone
in one stable, in one camp.
Everyone. Let's have Oscar come. You know, Oscar with DAZN, Matchroom Boxing, Top Rank, and PBC. Because one thing with Prime that you have to keep in consideration is with PBC, you also had the smaller fights on there.
Yeah.
You had the, you know, the lower level, the you know, the BC fights. They won't have that exposure on Prime. Prime would just want to do pay-per-view and big fights only. So you lose a lot. You know, the average fan wouldn't be able to see a Jerron Ennis until he gets ready to fight, or Antoine Gary Russell
on a big
until he gets ready to fight on a major pay-per-view fight. That's when Prime come in. That's when you really lose with Prime, unless Prime was to develop, you know, a more favorable, a more favorable platform for the underdeveloped fighters at this point.
So would it be like, so if not Prime, could it be like HBO Max? I think we dope on HBO Max. I won't lie, just because it's still got an HBO.
They're not gonna do it.
On Max, they call it Max.
That's Max. Old.
They done.
Yeah,
they done.
HBO is done. Showtime is done.
Well, let me talk.
I want to bring Dujanay's comment back up too, because he said boxing should do what wrestling does with pay per view. Use streaming services. A streaming service. I'm gonna say like Peacock, because that's what WWE uses.
That's what I'm saying. Like Max. Yeah, like Max.
It's worked out well. And hey, shout out to you, Al. He's showing some love. Love your point of view and your forward thinking. That could work. I mean, the options for Al Heyman are endless, man. And I think he could probably, like, he worked with Fox and Showtime. He might be able to work with Prime on those big fights. And he might also be able to work with the Zone on some of the lower level fights, and people would love that as well. But I will ask you this too, because Wole wanted to ask why this really happened. I've heard from, you know, my sources. I ain't got a whole lot, but I got enough that said the fighters were getting paid too much. I know they would disagree with that. So Showtime overpaid for their services, and they were bleeding money. And Paramount was like, "Nah, we ain't doing it."
Right now, I that's not it. It's just the contract is up. It's time for a new business model. I mean, it's time for a transition into something bigger now. It's time, if boxing wants to survive, we have to capture that younger audience. The younger audience is not watching Showtime. They are, you know, they're just not interested. It's all about the app into the future.
They ain't watching Showtime. They really not watching.
They're not really into it like that. No, they're all on the apps, man. If they can
What about YouTube TV, would be good, right?
Or the Zone, or you know, that's the future of the sport.
But does Fight TV, like, I know Fight TV has, like, to Dujanay, we just read his comment. Like, I know Fight TV is like into wrestling or something like that. They into boxing. Fight TV got boxing.
Yeah, I've done commentary on Fight TV.
Okay, got you.
Before,
got you. Okay.
So it's so easy for them. They'll send you a link, just like we're on now, and you tune in, you tap in to it, and you can view the fight on their platform.
Got you. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You have your own camera set up, your own camera team set up. You tap into the link, and bam, you're on their platform.
So how do you get like a big, like a pay per view fight? How do you get that money? Like, I'm trying to figure out how the model, the business model works for
they
like
pay
a,
for
like,
it.
Ahead of time, like for like,
you can pay for it that night on there.
Gotcha. You for fight. You talking about the same night? Okay, I got you.
Right.
I got you.
You can buy it on the same night. See, it's so easy with an app.
Got you.
And see, then also with that, say for example, with Fight TV, you can also, you know, it would be nothing to, you can put on a fight on there for $9.99 or $5.99 to watch. You know, if you just want to watch some boxing or something. You have that opportunity. And that's where it's at right now. That's the future, is on the app. If you want to capture that younger audience, even if they were to set up something with YouTube, you know.
That's what I just said.
YouTube, right. TV, everything is all in the apps right now.
But YouTube invested a lot into the NFL and getting that Sunday.
Oh, it's killing.
They are doing better than what DirecTV is. But what I read recently was they need about 2 million more, 2.5 million more subscribers just to get a profit from it. So it is a tough business. They don't want to lose any more money, but YouTube would be great. Al,
and then, lastly, not to cut you off, but with Showtime, you didn't get that world recognition.
True.
Showtime isn't everywhere like the Zone is. You can watch the zone all over the world with their fights. So that's the thing also.
That's true.
If you want that universal, that world, if you want, and I mean, the NFL now is in London.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you want that opportunity, if you want to, you know, to expand, you that's where it's at with the apps. That's where it's at. You got to go. Showtime can't offer that.
Yeah,
HBO can't offer that. Couldn't offer that. So you got to go. That's the way of the futures with the app.
So have you seen the back and forth with Oscar and Terrence Crawford on X? I got to keep getting used to calling that because Ryan Garcia started a discussion and Terrence Crawford jumped in like, yeah, the fighters need to come together and we need to be the ones at the table to make sure that we keep boxing where it needs to be. And that's in front of millions of fans all around the world, like you're saying. Oscar De La Hoya is like, no, you need to write people representing you.
Right,
and
then exactly.
You just focus on
I agree with Oscar.
Can't fight for long.
You said, I believe
Bud doesn't have enough money. You know what I'm saying? To represent himself on a global perspective. You know what I'm saying? The world is just hearing now, really hearing about Terrence Crawford. Yeah. They're just now hearing. And a lot of people still, Bud is not a household name at this point still in his career.
Shout out to Anthony Peterson. When he was on our show, he said, look at the NBA, look at the NFL, national. Look at the NHL, national. He said, boxing, we don't have that. He said, we need to find a way to sort of bring it all together and make it a much bigger, production and or organization, have just one entity, so to speak. And that's so hard to do with all these sanctioning bodies and all, but it makes sense. Is that the direction you think boxing heads and the zone and PBC come together would start to take you that, that route?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the route to go. That's where I would like to see. I would like to see them all up under one platform. You know, everybody come together and go up under one platform. Then that way it's so much easier. You don't have to cross networks and everything. It's so much easier to make the big fights happen. It just makes too much sense.
So do you think that's definitely going to happen? Do you think that's going to happen? Do you think the zone is going to take over the game and be the new king of boxing?
That's hard because like you know right now ESPN Top Rank is exclusive with ESPN.
Yeah, that thing sucks.
So you know, so right. I don't know how long their contract is. You know, I don't know how long their contract. You know, Top Rank has that contract with ESPN. Hopefully that'll, you know, end soon. And then, you know, possibly Nets can come on with the zone.
True.
But it's all about that exposure. It's all about capturing that audience, those kids in Australia and you know, the over in the UK instead of having, you know, you that way. And then we can also know more about their fighters and as well. You know, over in the UK,
sure.
You know, because I learn a lot from them when I do watch Matchroom.
Yeah.
Their production is great, too. I do watch the Matchroom Boxing with Eddie Hearn. You know, he has the UK on lock. So
easily.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So that collaboration, that's the best right now, in my opinion, to run with DAZN and go ahead and collab with them. So you got Oscar, you got Oscar De La Hoya, you got Eddie Hearn with Matchroom Boxing and PBC. You know, that's what I really think the best, you know, platform for them to lean towards.
Before we let you get out of here, we know what Floyd Mayweather meant to DAZN. I mean, not DAZN, my bad. Dang. Maybe I'm speaking into
PBC.
What he meant to Showtime.
Oh, Showtime.
Right. When he began to fight on Showtime, the biggest pay-per-view numbers ever, Showtime was doing that. However, he's been catching strays because people feel like he's been the one that's implemented this or created this culture of, I want to keep my O. The best don't fight the best no more. And now Showtime's going out of business because they couldn't get the best fights for all these years. What's your thoughts about Floyd catching some negative attention for some of the things that people feel like he did?
Well, we know Floyd did have a major impact on the sport of boxing. I mean, he carried it.
Yeah.
He also carried it for a decade or two as well. So, and he still has a major influence. I mean, you know, him and Al Haymon, he's in bed with PBC. So I wouldn't say that, you know, Floyd prevented people from you know, major fights from happening.
Mm-hmm.
If that was more so egotistical with the big heads. I mean, Floyd only represents PBC. So there were, there, you know, that's his entity that him and Al are connected with. But you still got Top Rank, and you still have Max Room, and you still have Golden Boy. So you still have others, but it just so happened that Al PBC had the best fighters. You know, so that part he controlled, you know, and you know, hopefully that and as we see, the big fights are starting to happen again. People they're not caring anymore about that. So we're getting away from that and heading into a better direction when it comes. We'll see a lot more, you know, major fights popping off in 2024.
All right, so I do have a question. I'm really trying to relive my HBO boxing, but not really. I'm really trying to relive it. So if Showtime goes down, are we gonna get Max and Lampley back together? Like, I need to get at least let me get my squad back together.
Right, right. With Max
and Lampley.
And we may lose what's his name? Bernstein. Lenny.
Yeah.
Jim
Grant on him. You know something about what's his name? Not you with Showtime. I'm talking about back. I knew you're talking about
who, Al Bernstein?
Yeah, Bernstein. You talking about Bernstein?
No, the announcer.
Oh, Lennon, like
Brian Custer,
Jimmy Lennon.
Oh, he going to get another job.
Oh, he getting a job.
he's Michael Buffer Jr., bro.
Yeah, he getting a job. He should be on the new Max team. That's why he should, whatever Max and Lamp, someone need to hire them dudes. Like, I'm sticking.
But you know, Max is with ESPN,
but they don't utilize him. They don't use him.
Right. I know they don't utilize him.
No, I thought he got cut when they just did those cuts.
Oh, that's right. He got cut too. He gone. He gone.
But they may bring him back, you know.
Because everybody going.
If all of this comes together, then he can get back in and join, you know, get back in with the boxing.
Because it's probably going to be bigger. It's probably going to be bigger now. I know you're saying.
Right. The platform will be a whole lot bigger now.
Yeah.
With all of those cats working together.
Yeah, ESPN needs to lose boxing. It's just not my cup of tea.
I mean, it's just too much. It's too much. You got Zab Judah, BLK Prime. You got so many different just platforms, and they don't all work together. The commentary is biased on the Zone, it's biased on ESPN. Right. If you bring it all together, God. Let's just imagine if you had like a Roy Jones calling a fight with a Tim Bradley and somebody who can come back and put you in your place if you're saying some nonsense.
Some reckless stuff.
That's great. I'm with Al. I want to see it all come together and just let's have a great product, a great boxing entity, and then you see the best fighting the best. There's no more across the street. It's just, we're gonna see it, and it's gonna be global, like you said, man.
International.
You know who has big international appeal? Deontay Wilder. People love him.
Yeah, they
outside
do.
Outside the U.S., they want him and Joshua so bad.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, I mean, if that's the case, it's really, if you're talking about global appeal, to be real with you, it should be the Zone then.
Right.
It can only be the Zone. It can only be the Zone.
They have it.
They're the only one.
Sky Sports.
It's Sky Sports. Man, nobody cares about the Sky Sports.
Nobody cares about Sky.
That's who you trying to bootleg some fight. You see Sky.
Right.
Oh, hey, stop it, boy. Hey. Hey, Al, man, we got to have you back on either before Boo Boo and Benavidez or Haney and Rougarou. Both fights are going to be dope, man.
Big fights, exactly. Yeah. Okay, I'm available anytime.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a pleasure, fellas.
Always. And Al, plug your show before we let you go, though, bro. Plug your show.
Yes, man. Yes, most definitely. We're expanding, as I said. So look forward to something big in 2024 also. You know, we're all expanding. There's a lot of transition going on in the state of boxing.
Facts.
You know, so you can always WFNZ. I'm with Urban One, you know, WFNZ 92.7 in Charlotte, out of Charlotte, North Carolina. You can catch us on all major platforms. And once again, that's AJ in the ring, in the ring with Al Jones. AJ in the ring, hit me in the DM. You got any questions? You can always catch me there.
Hey, yo, Al is the realest boxing dude in the game. Real talk. So y'all appreciate check him that. Out, my man. Check him my out man. For real. All right, Al, man. Take care, bro.
Yep.
My man. Yeah, that's good. That's good intel, man. Y'all really got on. I'm really want HBO. I want HBO to have that boxing game. Y'all like really like killed my dream in life. We got Max though. Max, they got Max. That's a streaming joint.
HBO Max, yeah, but they don't have any plans of going back in that direction. Wole, I'm with you, bro. Like, we grew up in the era of NBC basketball. You know, 24/7 HBO boxing was the best.
The production is way better. The production, like, just the boxing production alone with HBO was better than what we've been seeing over the last some odd years. Like, 24/7, Showtime been trying to copy that. Ain't close to no HBO 24/7. Not even close.
Ho! All access is good, especially the epilogue.
It ain't better 24/7, bro. Like,
but you're right though. Here's why you're right, because that was innovative. You see, Top Rank has Blood, Sweat, and Tears. You got Match Room that has their version. Everybody created something to model 24/7. 24/7 is definitely the GOAT. I mean, it's a Philly cheesesteak, bro. We got some good cheesesteaks in DC, but
it's
still not the original.
It's not Philly. It's not the original.
You know what I mean? We have it. I like All Access. I thought it was
I ain't hating on it. I'm just saying, like, when you had 24/7, when Floyd came out with that, when they came out with Floyd and Oscar, that 24/7 was something special, bro.
But let me tell you, though. Never. Let me tell you. Whenever you see, like, an All Access, especially the epilogue, come on YouTube, like a Gervonta Tank Davis fight week, man, they get millions.
Oh, they get killed. Oh, no, of course.
So YouTube would be a great venue, but I just think YouTube does not want to invest in that. They're all in on the NFL, which they should be.
Unless it's YouTube TV. You're talking about TV.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I don't know. This is my thing. YouTube TV, I don't know if it's going to drive. The NFL is different.
Right. Exactly.
I don't know if Boston going to drive YouTube TV.
The Zone is it, bro. I'm with you. The Zone is in touch. They're in touch. You don't have to do one platform. Al Heyman has options, and people know it. And I'm hoping that it works out for all boxing fans, but also the casuals, bro.
But we're going to end the show real quick, folks. Yeah. But what Al said, I do agree with. I don't know how it works for the non-popular boxer. That's the issue. Like, how does that work?
Well, that's why the Zone makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah,
because they already do that. Mm-hmm. But also, this is why you got it to me. You have to put on not just big fights, but also good undercards.
Yeah.
Because if you notice, the arena sometimes don't fill up until the main event.
Yeah.
That's not good. If you put Boots Ennis and you put Terrence Crawford on the same card, people going to come early.
Facts.
So if the fight before those two are a couple of guys that maybe fans don't know, well, Boots getting ready to fight. We want to make sure we get our seats. You're more than likely going to catch somebody who's not as well known. Like, there's so many talented boxers. There's a boxer who fights on the Top Rank, Bruce Shushu Carrington. Super talented, man. And I believe that he could be somebody that can eventually become a headliner. But right now, he's not there. So you got to put him on like a Shakur Stevenson undercard or one of those bigger fights. And I think it'll work out well. It was a fight this past weekend. You were out of town. But still, you didn't see it. Keyshawn Davis.
I know Keyshawn Davis.
It wasn't a fight that was well attended. You know, as exciting as a fighter he is. So I'm thinking, you merge everybody, including Top Rank, man. It would benefit so many people. And then he would get the fight with Frank Martin. He would get a fight with Richardson Hitchens and other talented fighters. All these guys are so talented. But you gotta know your audience too, because people hate defensive fighters. So like a Richardson Hitchens and Shakur Stevenson, some people are like, they're boring. No, they're not boring. They're excellent boxers.
Yeah,
but people don't want to watch him because they want to see Tank. That's why Tank is so big, because he knocks people out.
Yeah, everybody wants a knockout draw. Everybody wants a knockout draw. I'm just going to be really interested to hear about the business model. That's what I'm concerned with, the business model of it. Because pay-per-view is always like the pay-per-view. You get a share of the pay-per-view money. Like, you know what I mean? I'm interested about that. Like, streaming is different. And doing it, like, to have it compared to wrestling is a whole different thing, because wrestling, an individual ain't getting a part of that share in wrestling, right? In terms of streaming. But it's going to be interesting. I don't know how to explain.
Yeah, see, wrestling is different too, because you see their stars multiple times a week.
Yeah, that too.
Versus boxing, you lucky if you can see a good fighter twice a year.
I'm telling you, I don't know. I don't know what. It's a dope idea. I don't know the terms of profit margin for the actual boxer. I don't know if it's going to be the same. I feel like it would be cheaper.
You're right.
I feel like they would make a lot less. I don't know. I feel like they would.
As long as you, to me, you can, like, Ryan Garcia probably makes more money outside of boxing than he does.
Yeah, agree.
So now he's more marketable than some. But if you can still make a living from being a professional athlete, I still think you make out well. But if you're going to be stubborn and say, no, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, then you have a hard time. I think
money.
Maybe you do make less, but I think you get more opportunities. It's just like if you charge the fans less for fights and you get more people, I think you make more money in the long run. So I think they'll be more inclined to fight more. And I think ultimately they'll grow their popularity and they'll get more opportunities in the world of advertising and endorsements.
Yeah, I think this is probably what I think Canelo's career in boxing is about to end off of this alone. I think.
Well, he still got two fights left.
He'll be done.
It's going to be Benavidez, my dude. I'm hearing that.
I'm sure it's going to be Benavidez, but I think after that he'll be done. I think he'll be done.
It's still going to be big.
Yeah, for viewership. I mean, going to the fight, I don't know how.
I think next Cinco de Mayo, I think that's the fight that he's going
for. Oh, it should be. It should be. All right, well, man, this has been a good discussion. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, follow us on X at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Hey, make sure you subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Just hit this red subscribe button. If you're on YouTube, hit the red subscribe button and like this video. I can't bend my thumb because it's young. It's like, I need to get surgery on this thumb. Look at it. It's deformed. Hey, check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Empire Media at amppiremedia.com. And this show can be found on the Podcast DC app. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content. All right, man, this has been a great show, man. Appreciate Al for being on. We talked to WNBA. We talked some Commanders. So we did the darn thing. Anyway, Ray, man, appreciate you. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for IG. Deuces, Omega. Leave us out, big homie.